Are we live?
I think so. I think we
are
live.
Can't afford to not record.
Can't afford to not. I like your waistcoat.
Really? Really?
Waistcoat?
This is a waistcoat. Wet vest.
Thank you. Vest. Y'all niggas take some more stupid shit.
Okay.
I like when you get angry with us.
Fancy niggas. y'all gotta understand, man. Like, y'all dressing for other niggas? Y'all trying to help out motherfuckers?
Well, I dress for myself. As mentioned in my book, Dress for Success, pre-orders are available now. Please make sure you check that out.
Are we recording yet?
Yes, we're recording right now.
Word is gone.
Word life.
Yeah. This is the All Man Podcast, where we're having casual conversation through the lens of the three different perspectives. I'm Tony Davis.
All that shit. God damn.
My bad, man.
You were smooth with it the whole way.
He was in a
vibe
right
today.
There.
Okay. Michael Andrew the brand.
And Wheezy. Hashtag All Man. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, so I was thinking about some shit today. And I was talking to Wayne. I asked Wayne this question about a month ago. I said, hey, man, would you want to live in a neighborhood where you got cats hanging out at all hours of the night? And they don't have to be doing anything, you know, sinister or anything. Maybe they a little bit hood. Maybe they smoke a little weed, hang out, talk extra loud at nighttime on a weekday. You know, you driving down the street, they walk in the middle of the street and then don't move looking at you like you wrong. Like, I'm just talking about, you know,
hood shit.
Yeah, hood shit. You know what I mean? And oftentimes it's looked at, we're talking about black people. Black and brown people.
Yes.
You say the same thing with some poor white people too, but
I mean you could, but I'm just talking about our people.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So would you want to live in a neighborhood like that? Would you want to be associated with people in your neighborhood like that? Would you, if you had money and you had a nice
Money?
Yeah, you have money, you live in a nice area, affluent, and would you want that to consume your streets?
I've asked nicely, but now I'm getting really mad. Can you please stay off my freaking grass?
What up, Stanley?
What up, Stanley?
Oh, well, fuck you.
Well, fuck you too.
That's a Friday reference. So, I mean, how would you feel if people like that were in your neighborhood? And do you feel, I guess, obligated to either ride with your people? Educate your people. I mean, how does that make you feel?
So I got two things.
Two things.
All right. So first and foremost, it depends on the how we came into that space. Now, if I moved in there and it was initially affluent, and then unfortunately, like most of those black neighborhoods, people started moving out, and you started seeing lower income spaces move in. Then I got a choice to make. Do I want to fight the attrition of like mad people moving in, or do I want to just go ahead and throw my hands up and get the fuck up out of there?
Attrition's a good word.
Attrition, definitely. That's a cheat word.
Yeah.
The ongoing influx or the consistency of something that can overwhelm something else.
Okay.
Right. So that's
you
one side.
You define an attrition?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Loss.
Well, no, attrition can, like, we just keep on throwing waves and waves and waves. You know, in basketball, if you have a deep bench, you can just keep on throwing more and more people.
A trend.
Yeah.
A trend.
Just keep going.
Same shit.
I got it.
Yeah. You feel me? Okay. You feel me? So,
I feel you.
So, in that space, if that's where I am, that's one thing. If I came back to buy the block back or to change how everything is going, that's not necessarily a bad position to be in, because you want to, if you're buying the block literally, you want to see what the living situation is so that you can get some of the motherfuckers the fuck up out of there. I don't need to call the law. I'm just gonna buy you out. Like, I'm going to literally make it where you can't afford to live there anymore, or like we're gonna buy you and evict you. Like, so it's a very easy, let me rephrase, very simple process once if you have the resources. So for me, it's like, I don't, and there's also one other component. I don't mind hood. I don't like nigga shit. So I don't
want. Describe the difference.
So I'm perfectly fine.
For Michael Andrew.
For Michael Andrew. I'm perfectly fine with me being out and.
Disclaimer.
Right. This does not reflect the views and opinions of the entire All Men podcast.
I told you. I've said it once.
But for me, it's one thing if Poppy is out, you know, Poppy and his friends is out playing dominoes and, you know, it's a little loud outside at 10, but like at 11 they going to sleep, or at 8:30 they, you know, it's a little loud, but by 11 they going to sleep. It's one thing if the homies is out on the block and they smoking some weed, but it ain't loud. It's, you know, but it is that loud,
right?
Right. And I smell that, and then it dissipates in whatever. It's another thing where I'm staying at right now. Saturday, I fell asleep. It was like, I fell asleep at like 10:30, 11. I'm an old man. And oh, yeah, I saw that. And
sorry, we got interrupted by commercial break with a half naked chick on. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, anywho, so,
I don't even know what they're advertising.
You'll see, but like I wake up at 3, pop, 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 oh, pop, 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 and you know, like it's crazy because you'll hear something that'll wake you up, and then you like, fuck, I gotta react. Like right. So the neighborhood has been quiet enough where I don't gotta worry about anybody kicking my door in or anything like that. So I'll leave my back door open and the screen door locked. And it's a metal, heavy metal, screen, whatever. So I hear that, and you know, you're trying to gauge the distance,
right?
So I was like, man, that don't feel like it's one of those 4 or 5 blocks away. That feels like it's a block away.
Tops.
So I get up, close my little door, go back to sleep. So for me, it's like, would I want to live in that environment? No. Like, I don't want to be in a space. But if it's, you know, if it's just hood stuff, like, I mean, listen, it's white people in wealthy neighborhoods smoking weed. They just got a bigger spatial area, and the shit dissipate before it get to you. That's the only difference.
Yeah, and as we go through life, I mean, we'll start to see more states incorporate legalizing weed, marijuana.
Yeah.
All right. So, what about you, Wayne?
I'm in the same vein as Michael Andrew. Again, I'm not opposed to living amongst hoodness per se.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's overt, it then becomes something totally different. I don't know what you would qualify it as, or what people quantify it as, but it's just not right. That shit I'm not rocking with. You know what I mean? Like, wherever you call it. So, but in the same breath, it's a challenge. It becomes a challenge because even when I talk, the initial conversation that Tony and I had was just in relation to how our people of color, interact with each other in these ways, and then we expect change.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest caveat to that is that, well, how else would it happen? So two scenarios.
Two things.
Thank you.
You got to say two things.
No, I got it. Yeah.
He got what I was. He called the oop. Yeah. Why are you standing on the baseline?
I was.
With your arms up.
I was.
Clapping.
Man, I didn't know you were going to throw the oop. Shit.
Bottle went over your head. You like. It So there was one scenario that I was actually talking to the fellas about, Tony and Michael Andrew, a couple of weeks ago. I was in Burn Lounge, which is in a predominantly urban neighborhood. And this young lady was there, and she was partaking with her homegirl. They vibing, they having a good time. And she comes up to the bar, and I'm at the bar serving some people. And she starts chit-chat with me. And she basically...
just say what she said.
Well, she basically said, you shouldn't be here. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And she was like, I just don't feel like you should be here. Your vibe is just completely different. Like, you're not on no hood shit. She was like, look how you dressed. And I was like, is that a compliment? And she was like, I mean, yeah. I was like, okay, thanks. I appreciate it. But she was like, yeah, I just don't feel like, you know. And then she implied, she was like, yeah, this some nigga shit. Whoop-de-whoop. I just don't understand why you here. I was like, well.
But you are.
But you here. She was like, well, I'm here with friends, and we just, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was like, but you're still here, though. I was like, as a matter of fact, you're here to assess that I'm here and why I shouldn't be here, which is even more a concern to mine. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, what do you mean? I was like, I mean, why would you infer that I shouldn't be here for whatever reason just because I carry myself a certain way? I was like, if you want things to change, don't you think we should have a dynamic change in situations? And she was like, I mean, yeah. I said, so me being in this space, looking different, acting different, carrying myself a certain way, you don't think that would be an inclination for somebody to maybe take note of that and say, oh, this dude moves a little different?
I'm gonna try that shit.
Yeah. She then there was silence. I mean, you might have a point. Mind you, I'm talking to a woman. So, you know, it was going to be some pushback regardless.
I'm not wrong. I'm not saying I'm wrong.
I'm not saying I'm wrong. As a matter of fact, I'm not saying anything at all. But from there led to, I mean, I see your point, but I'm just. And then she came right back. She was like, I'm just saying. I said, hey, we can agree to disagree. Or we cannot talk at all.
Would you like another drink?
Literally, like, so you drinking something else? You know what I mean? Because at this point, I'm like, it was cute at first. Now it's annoying. Now you're wasting my time. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like people are sellouts if they say, hey, I don't want to be amongst a certain group of people?
No, I feel like people.
Well, let me rephrase. Do you feel like black people who don't want to be amongst other black people are sellouts?
No.
Or because you also have an issue with the statement, you're acting light-skinned.
I do.
Or that's some light-skinned shit.
I do.
Why do you have an issue with that?
Well, let me.
Not to say that I think that it's
no,
cool.
No. Let me address the first thing first. So the first thing is, no, yeah. I don't have a problem with anyone hanging with it, whoever what they want to hang out with, because I want people to feel comfortable in whatever element they curate for themselves. However, take note of what you create around you.
What do you mean?
What you create around you will then turn into your character. So if you don't involve yourself with your own people, if you have a certain stigma about your own people, you have a certain fear about your own people, that's going to internalize for your character.
Go ahead.
I think that's a I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I think that's a
you
dangerous.
You can disagree, man.
I know.
It's okay.
No, because I do agree with it. I think it's just a dangerous statement in that statistics show. You know, I like some statistics.
Yeah.
If you are
fun fact,
like, that's gonna be our new thing. Fun fact: if you have lack of resources, lack of money, and lack of activities, you're going to have a higher crime rate. That's just white, black,
right.
Indian. It doesn't matter. So for me, it's like in those situations where a lot of wealthy dudes be like, "I'm moving out of the hood." It's an interesting juxtaposition because they have fame. So they have, like, notoriety. People know who they are, and they have money.
Right.
Versus the dude who, like, Chamillionaire, like, now. Chamillionaire was big early 2000s, but not a lot of people really know who Chamillionaire is now, like, unless you were familiar with Texas hip-hop.
Yeah.
So him being out in Silicon Valley.
Catch me riding dirty.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But that's, and that's really it for right. Nationally, right? But now him being out on the West Coast, Chamillionaire could probably be in a coffee shop 90% of the time, and nobody's gonna bother him, right? But Chamillionaire is making probably $100 million, like
easy.
He's making a lot of money in his venture capital with his venture capital. A
lot of tech companies.
So he could move to the hood because he's still gonna have his baseball cap. He might still be wearing his wave cap, whatever, whatever. Nobody's gonna pay any attention to him, but he could be quietly buying the block, like right. And it's gonna be a different situation because people aren't gonna be quote unquote jealous of him because they don't know him. He just has a decent car. Like, I don't feel like he's the dude who's showing up in the, you know, in the Maybach or whatever, pulling into his driveway. He probably have a nice car, but it wouldn't be anything crazy.
Or if he did, I don't get.
He wouldn't park.
We don't know this young man, but I don't get the feeling he's just pulling up, flogging and flexing
for a reason. Because he's also from Fifth Ward.
Yeah.
So like, to me, there's a slight difference because again, if I'm getting money, right, and then I'm flaunting that money in the presence of people who have no money, then, yeah, I'm going to go get your money because you didn't help me get out of the situation. Now, you have to want to get help, right? But if you're not helping me get out of a situation and you're flaunting all of your wealth and all of your riches, then I'm gonna be in a situation where it's like, well, I ain't got it and he got it. He's not going to miss it. You know, if I hit him up for this $5,000, even if it's me being a trigger man. So I think that's kind of like the challenge there.
Well, what the dynamic that I was just explaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that it's easy for black people to shit on their own? Similarly to the, you shouldn't be here, you doing light skin shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Or I'm moving out the neighborhood because, you know, a family who has the money but still has the hood with them has moved into my neighborhood?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I'm going to use that to piggyback off the last question that you asked. I didn't get a chance to answer.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's cool, because Michael Andrew brought up some valid points, and that needed to be said. But when people say things like, oh, you're acting light-skinned, or that's some light-skinned shit, or, you know, he light-skinned, so he act like that, I mean, you could take it with a grain of salt, but conditioning has told me that more than often, when people say that, they're meaning it in a certain way. It's a negative connotation.
It is.
It's not something to joke about. That's why I also preface, I'll be like, if I know you and you said, we okay. But there's been circumstances where people have said, and I'll be like, yo, I'm not cool with that shit. Mm-hmm. So,
and I've experienced
chill
that.
Out. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, yeah. I didn't know it. I didn't know it was a big deal. Well, you know now, I'm expressing it to you. I'm not cool with that. So
doing some light skin shit, no.
Right? No, like, and that's fine. And that's fine in their head. Yeah. They can say it in their head, but now that I've addressed it, if you say it again, now it's like it's disrespecting me. I'm not. Yeah. We sever communication.
Similarly to the all right, that has more of effect to me than the word nigger.
What?
And we've talked about that.
What, yeah, on some light skin shit.
When
really?
Yes.
And I
okay
because we've talked about the word nigger, yeah, and what it means. I don't think you should be, you know, pretty much upset if somebody non-black says it, but yeah, as far as black that, yeah, on black saying it, you know what I mean, you're like you said, it's a negative connotation, and it seems like you were saying, Wayne, conditioning, it's okay to put down someone else,
right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I was gonna, that I'm sorry,
put
that's,
down mean put down other black people,
yeah, right? And that's what I was gonna say, it's used as a mean or a vessel to downgrade your own people without you consciously knowing. That's what's dangerous about it. It's because now you're in your head and you're thinking it's cute, it's cool to say these things, but really you're literally belittling your people
school
for
days,
no reason.
School days.
Exactly. Oh, you old college nigger.
Oh, yeah.
Old college boy.
Or good and bad hair.
Right. Yeah. You got good hair, you got bad hair.
Right.
So at the end of the day, my ideology about things like that is like, stop, just stop. Think about what you're saying in the moment, because now you're avoiding the knowledge and just being ignorant for no reason.
And not that I know if anybody plays both sides, but, you know, I was listening to a certain podcast that we all listen to, mm-hmm, and it seems, and I know it's entertainment. It is an entertainment podcast. However, oftentimes, you know, one thing is said on the right, and then the next thing you know it, a couple of episodes later, they'll say something that contradicts the other thing. Like, mm-hmm, hey, you know, ha ha ha, he should punch him in the face. And this is right, like, yeah, you just spent two episodes talking about Nipsey Hussle and how we should all come together.
Yeah.
Which is it?
Yeah.
So, you know, black people I always think that we should start amongst ourselves. Mm. And I've always looked at people because I grew up differently. Even when I was here before I left, hey man, you black, I'm black, dark skin, light, it don't matter to me. You right, be Hispanic, like, we're all minorities,
right?
So why would we should just be cool with each other? I just always looked at people like, why can't we just be cool?
So I think that again, there's a deeper conversation, like with economy, right? Because white people do the same exact shit.
And conditioning.
No, yeah, in conditioning. Because white people, the difference is like, let's say a white person comes, because generally for them, they come from a small town, right, where they do like things that are a little bit different. So in Texas, if you stay closer to like the Texas-Louisiana border, like it's marshes, it's swamps, mm-hmm, like, so you may go swamping, you may like do like
mud,
you may mud, like do all that stuff, right? So let's say that person then goes to Houston, 2 hours away, like, mm-hmm, not even really crazy, but like they go to Houston, they get a job,
right?
They're not coming home as much. When they come home, they've had a Houston experience, so they've been transformed a little bit, mm-hmm, like on some level.
Culture
especially
shock.
Yeah, especially if it's been a year or something, that twang
changed,
has gone to this gone to this
assimilation,
you know, right? You've been assimilated, right? Mm-hmm. So then you come back, then your friends are like, man, you changed. Man, you changed. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
that's how they said it?
Yeah, man, you changed.
Man, you changed.
Right? Like, so what's going
on?
What's
your goddamn overalls?
Right. Right. But that's, I mean, but like, that's kind of what happens. And so if they're coming, let's say they come back 10 years later, and that person has still stayed in the town, they still do mudding, like, but now they got kids, so they go mudding. Like, and they're like, nah, I don't do that no more. Like, right. I've been to, like, Africa, I've been to Europe,
I've
like,
taken
I've done
up
all
golf,
these things. Like, yeah, I'm doing all these different types of things. Oh, so you think you fancy. Or you're
say what it really is. Go ahead and say the comment that we've all heard.
You think you better than me?
Nah, keep going. That's white people shit.
No, I'm saying if this a white person, right?
Oh yeah, thinking, yeah.
If it's white, if it's but that's what I'm saying on across the board. If you're Latino, like you're white, you're doing white people shit,
right?
If you're
from
black,
my understanding that's a good thing, and yeah, if you're black community,
but I mean, but even then, like,
they look highly at that.
But my essay homies, like who we just call essays,
right.
That were in the hood, oh, they doing white people shit, and so that's what I'm saying is like when I was in. I remember I was in sixth grade. I spoke very properly, and my aunt used to be like, "Boy, you just talking white. Boy, you talking white." And my mom, I remember my mom was like, "Oh, wait a second. So are you then saying that black people do not know how to talk properly?"
Right.
And she was like, "Well, I'm just saying like he's talking like he has a stick up his ass." And I said, "So again, this was one of my favorite aunts."
Not right? No more.
No, she's still one of my favorite. Because I had to understand.
Fuck you, auntie. Who got the stick now?
Well, you can just excuse yourself from our home.
Well, we was at my grandma's house, so I couldn't do that. Expeditiously, motherfucker. But what I realized was I was in private school, so there was a bit of underlying jealousy, whether it was acknowledged or not. So, again, it's one of those things where I also had to understand, oh, she doesn't know any better. Like, there's plenty of black people who speak this way.
Right.
And again, it makes me that much more versatile. It makes me that much more dynamic and that much more dangerous because I can talk that shit when I need to talk that shit. And I can...
You become versatile.
Hello, how are you? You know, like Dave Chappelle said.
I think that more than often what happens is, to Michael Andrews' point, is that... There's a stigma because either the environments that you have been in or that you haven't been in, you don't frequent enough, and it's the age-old saying, people are scared of what they don't know.
Yep.
So I tell people all the time, like, they be like, Wayne, you talk a certain way, you use certain words. But yeah, I get what you on to get with you. You know what I mean? I talk slang just like anybody else.
First of all, that is not slang. That is a dialect like a...
You feel me?
You feel me?
Actually, it's colloquialism. But
there you go.
What happens is...
SAT word.
speaking in a manner of that's contingent to your region.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm Southern.
Defined.
But when people are asking me about certain things, I'm like, I try not to dumb myself down for two reasons. One... I don't feel like if I'm giving you enough time to speak with you, I think highly enough to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. So I figure that, hey, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you're going to say, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. Explain. Right? Because I'm completely fine with that. Yeah. Right? Completely fine with that. What I'm not okay with is people who be like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck this nigga just said, and walk off. Like, you know what I mean? So now my time is wasted, and that was arbitrary. Like, I don't know why you even was, why were we doing what we was doing?
Right, why were we having a conversation?
Right. Secondly, I feel like knowledge is power. Yes, it's a cliche, but once you have a certain amount of knowledge, it's hard for you to step away from that. You know, ignorance is bliss, knowledge is responsibility. So once you have knowledge, you have two things.
Two things.
Right? You can either share your knowledge or you can utilize the knowledge to your advantage. What happens is the people who run shit, in my opinion, or who really are successful, they do both.
Okay.
They say, I can utilize the knowledge that I have, but I can also educate others around me so that way they can utilize it and then we move forward together, right? It's not a lot of people who can do that. That's what the realization that I'm coming to as I get older. It's not a lot of people who are intellectual and then who can strategize and mobilize. It's intellectuals, I'm really fucking smart. Mm-hmm. I can tell you shit that you never know. I can calculate shit in at a matter of moments. Yeah. But who are you helping? Right? Then there are people who say that's all they do. They're self-serving. Well, they're not self-serving. They are people who are selfless. They have the knowledge, and I'm going to help you out, right? I'm going to help you out. But in the midst of doing that, they give so much of their self that it's hard for them to balance what they need to be doing to become successful. Mm-hmm. So they end up just making other people around them better, and they be okay, mm-hmm. right? It's a very small fraction of people who can do both of those things and say, okay, this is me.
Do you think in society, this? Do you think in the life that you all move, that you can start to educate people without them? Do you think it's open enough to where people will be accepting of you educating them without feeling so insecure or disrespected?
You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Give me a little bit more.
If you're in an environment,
so I should have went first.
If you're in an environment where, you know, in any other time, if you're using words that people may not know, or you're dressing mm-hmm. the way you dress, do you feel like you're okay to educate them and that they'll be more accepting of it in today's terms? I mean, meaning black people.
Yeah, I mean, with most black folks, again, we've all been out. We've been at Burn. Like, no dude has ever been like, look at this fucking nigga over here doing the most. And them niggas are the first ones to actually literally be like, yo, damn, cuz, I see you fresh as hell, bro. But, like, when I'm out, like, it be the hood niggas and, like, just the homies and the males who would be like, damn, bro, you fresh as hell.
What do you say when they say something like,
man,
that?
Man, I appreciate you. Like,
do you ever think to say, hey, man, if you want to get down, we can talk sometime?
It depends on how the conversation goes. Because, like, I've had guys who just, sometimes dudes just want to show love.
Right.
Initially, when I first was doing it, I used to be like, you know, yeah, bro, like, I appreciate you, man. Like, I like how you did what you did, like, right, just showing love back. And they'd be like, literally, man, I wish I could dress like you could.
Right.
Well, you can.
You can.
Nah, I wouldn't be able to pull it off. And I remember I used to go back and forth with those dudes, like, dude, yes, you can. But if internally you don't believe that that's a possibility, then you can't.
So you don't think that you should have a conversation with them and be like, hey, you know what? I mean, and just the conversation, see where they come from.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Meaning, I guess a prelude to...
to potential, right?
Dress for success.
Right. In stores now.
Like I did.
Available. I did. That was an amazing plug. Hell of a hell of you. Thank you for that lob.
You see, he wasn't standing there on the baseline. You see what I'm
saying? I was ready for the lob this time, though.
He was moving. His feet were moving. His body was in unison.
And he gave me the look. Like,
watching
the
cues.
We caught the eye contact. So the old adage, like, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, is necessary in that space.
Some people may not know.
That's my point,
many
though.
People may not
know. But that's my point. If I'm not ready for multiplication, like, right, I still haven't mastered addition yet, and I say, hey, but listen, you could get that number way faster. Like, right, I could just, instead of you adding 3 + 3, like, just know that 3 doubled is going to be 6. Like, that's, but I don't have the basic understanding of, I have 3 things over here and 3 things over here. Together, those things make 6. I don't have that basic understanding. I'm happy to teach.
I was about to say.
I'm happy to teach, but if you're like, I don't even care.
That's different.
So, right. But again, yeah. It's a lot of guys who just like it, but I don't really care about that.
Well, they may not care because, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, they may not know.
And so they may be insecure. Wayne, I'm pretty sure you've seen, I know you've seen this, somebody come into, you know, the humidor, and they don't know what to smoke. They'll just walk right out if you're over top of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They feel insecure. Never mind. I don't want to smoke.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because
I don't
know.
I don't see what y'all got here.
Yeah, exactly. They cop out.
I don't see what y'all got here.
Because not
no,
a lot
for real.
Of...
no, that's what I'm saying.
Not a lot of men can own that they do not know.
Right.
100. And that's what I'm saying. A dude, it's easier for a dude to just give a compliment than to inquire. Whereas women will often give you a offhand compliment. Like, it'll be
your little hat.
Yeah, your little right. Oh, I like your little vest.
Your little vest. Like,
that's a cute little color for your car. What's that? A Mercedes?
Like, right. Or
it's a 550,
you just
bitch.
you obviously you don't know your cars.
Right.
But
apparently you don't know numbers because it's a 63 that trails behind that.
Bitch. Be like, goddamn, I'm sorry. It'd be like, I'm sorry. Right. No, I'm sorry. Right. I'm not sorry. Okay. Right. But at the same time, or it's an insult. Like, oh, you just trying to be extra tonight, huh? No, bitch, I do this every day. Like, right. I don't know the fuck you. And again, I'm wrong if I say to them, nah, bitch, I do this every day. Well, I gotta be a bitch. Well, obviously, you are an unsavory, unpleasant character, so I was just speaking to what I knew.
There you, you never feel like you have. In my gut, at times, I can tell when people, I feel like I can tell when people are uncomfortable with me.
Yes.
So, therefore,
I'm going to make it more uncomfortable.
Right. That's what, I mean, I can see.
So, you turn the heat up.
As opposed to being like, hey, you know, why would you say that? Like, Wayne, why would you say something like that? What do you mean?
Yeah, when I've, but again, when I've asked young ladies, we had this same conversation a few episodes back when I was like, when she was like, you're confused, obviously. Well, why do you feel like that? Well, look at this and look at that. Again, I'm compassionate to people's perspective sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just don't give a fuck. Like, oh, okay, well, shit. And then they'll say something to the effect of, well, I was just trying to give you a compliment. And that in that point, you get to get educated. That is the equivalent of me saying, damn, you got a fat ass. But I slide right up in that motherfucker. You're going to be like, you disrespectful ass motherfucker. And I'm going to be like, what you talking about? I was just giving you a compliment saying you got a nice body.
Saying your ass
so you don't
is
feel
fat.
Like it.
It's the lit.
You don't feel like you're responsible as an educated, well-dressed, well-spoken, well, you know, well-mannered black man to pull up another.
I am. I'm fully responsible for that to the people who are deserving. Prime example.
Whoa.
Prime example.
Wait a minute, Jack.
That's let me give you an example.
Bring them out.
Who are deserving.
Explain.
Yeah, please do.
So again, if I'm talking to somebody, we could go out tonight, mm-hmm. be out on the street and see a person asking for some change, right? And I could say, hey, bro, instead of me giving you some change, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get you a spot tonight. I actually own a clothing company. We're going to get you some clothes, like a T-shirt, some polos, and some jeans so that you can look together. We're going to get you showered up. I'm going to get you a haircut, and I'm going to take you to the unemployment office. Now, what we're going to do is once we get here, you're going to have a residence. I'm going to get you a P.O. box so that you can start sending out resumes, and I'm going to give you bus fare in order to get to and from the unemployment office. If you need to wash your clothes, like I'm doing all this, being extreme, right?
Right.
And then that person says, hey, man, that's all well and good. I just wanted a beer. Well, then you weren't deserving of that blessing. Not saying that you're not deserving as a human being, but what I'm saying is in that space, you're going to end up wasting my time. Versus the person who says, hey, man, I want to learn how to dress better.
I find fault in that.
Okay.
Something makes me uncomfortable with that statement.
It's the wording.
I don't think it's just the wording. I think it's the approach. I can't tell Michael Andrew what to do. I'm just saying in the moment of I'm looking at bringing someone up, I'm bringing them up because they do not know. Not everybody, you know, some people catch a bad break. I get it. And some people may know how to approach or some people may want to fish. Mm-hmm. But for those people who grew up not knowing anything about that, who doesn't know about looking beyond the year, you know, about looking, hey, how, you know, investments take time.
Right. Yeah.
They just aren't educated on the matter. They're ignorant to the point. You know what I mean? So if they do not know how to handle a situation like that. They do not know how, you know, and I'm just saying that in this particular point, mm-hmm. they do not know.
Yeah.
They do not know how to, you know, think about tomorrow. So mm-hmm. why not, you know, for me to tell them that or for you to say that they're not deserving, it's like, yo, like, that means you're leaving, you know what I'm saying? You're leaving all the other motherfuckers out in the cold because
no.
They're just not.
But wouldn't that mean, I mean, at some point, wouldn't they, would you agree that people have to want certain things for themselves?
Yes.
Before I want
that's
it.
That's a Tonyism.
Hang on. Before I want it for them.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you do not know, a lot of people think, oh, okay, I want to be an artist, some sort of artist. I want to rap. You know. Mm-hmm. Draw or whatever, and I mm-hmm. want to be rich.
Right.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But why?
Yeah.
For
you know
why?
What I'm like, why? Like,
for
how,
why?
Yeah, yeah. I need 20 million. I need 50 million. I need to be rich.
For why?
You know what I mean? Jay-Z or something. It's like, yeah but for really, what would.
For why?
Yeah, for why?
So they don't know.
Right.
They just see, you know, and they following the leader or they seeing what's made someone else successful and not realizing what they do. And these don't have to be uneducated people.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like this.
I think the analogy that you just used is interesting because I think it breaks down the dynamic to what he's explaining.
Mm-hmm.
So that person they specifically said, I want to be a rapper, I want to be an entertainer, and I want to be rich, right? The person that he's speaking of that wouldn't be quote-unquote non-deserving,
yeah.
which I understand the verbiage is a little bit. But
it's the podcast, goddamn it.
The non-deserving person is going to say, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, but that
I don't know. Let me take it to another standpoint.
That person says, I want to be Jay-Z, I want to be a rapper, and I want to be rich, right? So I say to that person, first and foremost, why do you want to be a rapper? And why do you want to be Jay-Z? And so after I ask that question, he says, well, because Jay-Z's rich. And I say, great. You want to be rich first. Like, right? Yes. Cool. If I show I can show you how to be rich, but it's not going to be Jay-Z famous. Well, I want to be famous too. Cool. You want to be rich and you want to be famous. So if you want to be rich and you want to be famous, here's what you have to do and here's what you have to expect. You want to be a great rapper. So now you're in high school. I need you to be at the front row of your English class every day of every class. And I need you to start learning about the English language. Right? Well, I don't got to do that. Because Wayne didn't do that. Well, actually, Wayne went to college and actually studied English. Well, such and such didn't want to do that. You said you want to be a great rapper, right? So these are the things that you need to do. So, but you got success. Great. Do you want to follow my footsteps? Yes. Here's what you need to do.
You can mentor me. Yeah, right? I can mentor you.
So, what was you about to say?
No, keep going.
So in that space, if you're telling me I want to be rich, if that was your first and only goal, you don't have to be a rapper to be rich, and I can actually put you in a position that's going to give you better percentages to be rich. First thing that you need to do is you need to open up a savings account. You just need to, part of that is because you need to understand how to discipline yourself to put money away. We've done that for a year. Great. Now you realize, dang, I put $25 away a week. That's what, so that's $100. You got $1,200 in your bank account right now. So now I'm going to show you what you need to do with that money. You're going to leave $500 in savings, and now you're going to diversify and spend $700 in some assets. All right,
but here's what I'm saying. Like, there are people who don't have the patience to do that because they don't know. They go from where they are mm-hmm. to dreamland.
Yes.
So
if I'm telling you, and now they don't know. So now I'm telling you how to get there.
That's cool, yep. But if you only tell them once or twice, how long are you willing to do to help some? How long are you willing to go to help someone out? How many years? How many months? How many days?
Yeah, I mean, we could be in this.
How long are you going to push them? Not that they asking you. They're not saying shit. They just said they want to be rich. Like, some people are in
mm-hmm.
the mind state. Wayne mentioned culture one episode. Yeah. You know, they're in this certain area to where they only know this. How long do you think it's going to take for them to break that?
100. That's a very fair question. Here's where the dynamic happens. You could have three kids, all in the hood, all in bad situations, right? All, let's say, like, all abusive parents, whether they're physically abusive or just abusing drugs, right? In a very impoverished state. You got one kid who's just gonna be like, this is life. You got another kid, and they could all be in the same class. You got one kid who's like, yo, this is just my life. Right. It may take him more time for me to say that's not life. I can show you examples of people who've been in the same situation that you can get out of. Now, I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to give you the tools, but I can't dig you out of the hole because I will be here for you if you got questions, if you need help. But if you're telling me I got to then be on you every day, it's the same thing when I started writing my book. You told me, bro. No, I'm not gonna call you every day because you're grown. You got to do this.
We're talking about two different. We're talking about two different situations.
Okay,
I'm dealing with somebody who is elevated, who
with
you
me.
And I, yeah, with, you with and you, I okay. speak on the same level.
We do.
Know, like, when we fuck up, we don't even need each other to call each other out. We know when
we
fuck up.
I appreciate when you call me.
I'm not saying that you don't appreciate it, but you know when you make a mistake.
But
you know when you make a bad decision.
But I also do need friends to hold me accountable to it. Because again,
to reinforce.
Because here's what's going to happen for me. I can only speak for me. I'm going to then try to justify it for like 2 weeks. Right?
It was like this and blah, blah, blah.
And you'll be like, and you've done it. Yeah, but bro, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. You told, even with the book. Tell me
you're,
you didn't.
You're making my point.
No.
Yeah, because I'm like,
no,
okay.
I'm not, I was saying, I didn't mean to say no. Yes, we're in agreement. I'm saying, and in that space, I also wanted it. So you were like, yo, you said that you wanted
but
it.
But you are still, I'm talking to somebody who's mm-hmm. on my level. I'm not talking to somebody who's ignorant
I'm totally
as fuck.
With you.
You know,
I'm
and no disrespect,
or seems to be ignorant.
Who just, and I don't mean ignorant like, oh,
no, they
you're
don't
retard.
Know. They literally don't know.
To,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, like right. It takes time. Like it took a lot of tone, pay attention to, you know, and again, that's just what I want to do. I want to be better Tony.
Right.
So I stop making excuses.
Yes. So if I tell that kid, right, we're all seem like we're talking to kids.
Right. We're talking
to young adults.
Impressionable minds.
Yeah, but thank you. No, it don't matter how old they are.
Okay,
right, matter how old they are.
So here's where I guess we would differ. If I'm talking to a 34-year-old man, right, my peer, age-wise,
okay,
and I say, he's like, yo, bro, I just want to be rich, and I want to be a Jay-Z, I want to be Jay-Z rapper, I'm going to say, hey, my G, on some humble shit, can I have a real conversation with you? Yeah, bro, you can have a real conversation with me. You being Jay-Z... How long, I got some questions for you. How long have you been writing or rhyming? I've been rhyming for 10 years. Let me hear some of your work. I ain't got nothing recorded. That's a problem.
Yeah.
This is a problem. Like, in modern day society, you didn't go get, like, Pro Tools. You didn't go even just grab your phone and record something. Nah. So who have you been hanging out with? Well, you know, me and my boys, you know, we just rap in a huddle. And I said nobody had the wherewithal to record this at all. Like, okay, cool. Who are you listening to? Well, you know, here's some of my favorite rappers. Like, tell me a little bit about their history. Because again, Big is one of my favorite rappers. Big was going to people's studio just to hang out and would spit over like other people's stuff. Like, have you gone to any of those things? No. Now, if you really want to be Jay-Z, we got some serious work to do. So if you really want to be Jay-Z at 34, like, it's you're battling time at that point. Versus me talking to the 18-year-old, the 20-year-old who's saying, yo, I want to be Jay and I want to be a rapper, I can be like, yo, all right, so two questions.
Two things.
See, I threw the lob. You wasn't ready. See?
I wasn't ready. I was.
but I, listen, do you want me to hold you accountable to this?
That's a better, I guess, and maybe you're right, Wayne. It was the way he said it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my
delivery. I'm just saying.
You know, my delivery is trash sometimes.
I mean, and it doesn't. No, wait. It doesn't necessarily mean it's trash, but when you're speaking to a sensitive nature like this, and listeners. This is a sensitive nature. Whenever you're speaking to ignorance or the lack thereof or a conveyance of information, it's a sensitive issue. Because all too often, people act on means of ignorance. Hate is from ignorance. People doing dumb things is from ignorance.
Okay.
People who decide, oh, I want to take someone's life, it's from ignorance.
Okay.
Right? Because they either have the lack of resources, the lack of knowledge, the lack of something, mm-hmm. and they don't feel the need to acquire that, right? Mm-hmm. So to what Tony is speaking to, there are people out there who are yearning for this knowledge. They just don't know how to get it, which is odd because we've had conversations like this and had these same conversations.
And you said that everything is on the internet too, though, by the way.
Well, not only that.
I did. Again, I'm talking to people who I know.
Right.
Are fucking knowledgeable to be like,
No. And that's the difference. That is the difference part of these conversations is that what we're speaking about is the bare minimum human being saying,
right,
I don't know. I like you. I like you.
Yes.
But I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's fine.
Okay.
But there still has to be some means of ambition or intrigue.
Yes.
Or something in order for me to extend myself so far. Now, you asked a question earlier. How long will you go trying to help someone? I will go to the edge. I will take it as long as it needs to go, as long as I know that you have as much vested into what I'm doing as I have into you.
So how do you bring up your black man if you're one of those people who feel like, we should all get together. We should all come up. We should be better as black people. Yeah. We should stop fighting. We should stop doing
right.
this.
Yeah.
And you got these people out here who are just don't, you know, they have a mindset. I don't mind killing. You let the, I don't mind killing XYZ. Fuck that nigga. He wearing a different color. Mm-hmm. Or he called me out a name.
My nigga, everybody ain't going to make it, bro.
That's what I'm saying. So you willing to let those people go to the wayside?
No, I'm not, I'm not willing to let those people go to the wayside.
So what do you do?
I'm willing to acquire someone who's willing to work with me.
Okay, 1 out of 10, my brother.
I'll take 1 out of 10. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem. If I try to take 10 out of 10, if I go after all 10, I just want you to understand me. If I go out of 10 out of 10, that one out of 10 may have been the catalyst that could influence the other nine.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm just saying, how do you get upset then at a conditioned mind state or conditioned mind state in the lifestyle that they're living doing fuck shit?
Well, I try not to get mad. Like, I try to have compassion for that person. Like, again, I'm blessed. Like, my mom was an educator. My mom taught me to be a certain space. It was so funny. I was just having a conversation with a client today, right? Talking about relationships. And somebody was like, yo, man, how you... When I was a teenager, I remember this happened like 4 times. Somebody be like, yo, man, you and your mom get along so well. Like, how y'all get along so well? And it was like a foreign concept to me. I was like, we talk? And I remember, dead ass, it was a dude, he was like, yo, you talk. Like, what does that consist of? Like, how do y'all do that? And I was like,
that's who Tony's speaking to.
Fair, right? So I was like, and again, I'm 15. So I'm also ignorant to like even being aware of what's going on. Because that's another thing that we got to remember is I also may be ignorant on how to teach you. So if I'm in that space, I was like, he asked a question. He was a student. So I was able to, in certain levels, teach him. I was like, I said, my mom asked me a question, and I answer. And he was like, man, I couldn't do that. And I was like, what you mean? And he was like, well, I can't tell my mom what I'm doing. And I was like, well, why not? He was like, shit, my mom beat my ass. Like, if I told her some of the stuff that I was doing. And I was like, she may. I was like, I've told my mom some stuff that's not the best. And I said, and I've had to deal with the consequences behind it. But she at least knows I'm going to come talk to her. I said, because, and this was 15. So, again, if that dude gives me the shake off, like, nah, I'm not doing that. I can't keep on saying, like, yo, you should go talk to your, let me rephrase. I can then say, yo, you should go talk to your mom every time I see him. Like, yo, you talk to your moms? That's it. That's about the extent that I can go to, though. Like, all I can do is be there for him in that manner. It's the same way if I'm dealing with cats on the street who pushing drugs and dealing drugs, right? I want to help you be man, you smart as hell. Like, you're a businessman by definition for what you're doing. Because even a drug dealer, most of my homies who do drugs would be like, yo, it's still a 4-year, 5-year space for you to be making any real money, especially nowadays. So you actually would do better going to get a career, but I understand the plight and the situation that you may find yourself in. So if I'm talking to that dude and I'm like, hey, I'm on the block with you trying to educate you, yo, bro, you should be diversifying like this money. So like, look, I know that you just made 2. Go ahead and throw 200 in a bank or like figure out a way to start saving this money. Now, if I'm doing that with you on the block every day, right? And the feds is watching, or the police are watching, or the police just happen to run up on us as well. And I get scooped up in that. Now I'm going to jail for you, and I wasn't even doing shit. But I'm an accessory because I knew that drugs were on the premises.
Right.
So it's I have to use a certain level of self-preservation, and I have to also while looking like, yo, this dude wants to be better. Yo, bro, I'm happy to give you the knowledge. I am. But you have to want to discipline yourself in order to step away from it. That's the challenge. It's not easy, but that's the challenge that we got to deal with.
Okay.
Tony,
you disagree? Like,
yeah, I want to hear your point.
I think if you're going to be a person who thinks that we should big up ourselves, meaning the black community or minority, I think you need to be willing to, like Wayne, you said it, go to the ledge, to the edge, but that's a commitment for life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the initial scenario of people in your neighborhood. You know, if you don't mind, I think that I want, you know, I want to live a certain lifestyle. I don't give a fuck what ethnic makeup you are.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to live a certain lifestyle. If you move into my neighborhood and you're doing this shit, I'm either going to want to move out, or I want you to get the fuck out, or I want you to grow.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
If I don't mind it, like, cause some people, you can win the lottery, you right. can you can earn your shit, but your lifestyle is different.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to live that way. Yeah. I can be looked at as a sellout, or Uncle Tom, whatever the fuck you want to call me, but I'm just not in the mood to be around that shit. So what am I willing to do to get that person to say, hey, this is what's happening.
Right.
Now, meaning two scenarios.
Two things.
Two things.
He wasn't ready.
Yeah, he's not.
I'm the ad-lib.
You are off. You are off today.
So here's my scenario. I'm a man who gives a fuck about my people.
Okay. Right.
And I want us to grow and be strength in numbers.
Okay.
I can't leave too many people on the wayside. There's going to be some people that just don't want to go.
Right. Okay.
I mean, if you ever saw, what was the Nate, the, anyway.
The slavery?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Nat Turner.
Nat Turner.
Like, you know, you had the kid that was like, oh, I'm scared, so he's going to go rat.
Right.
You know, or he's going to go back and he'd rather live this fucked up lifestyle than to.
Right.
But that's what got them killed, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're going to have some people like that. Yeah, so that you just, hey, man, just let the motherfucker go. He just gets squashed. But I can't have too many of them. Just
because then they compromise the.
Well, no, it's for on my conscience. I want to bring up everybody, as many people as I can. If I don't get 50%,
and this is what I've been waiting on to give me some context behind what you were feeling. So go ahead, continue.
So I'm like, hey guys, why are you doing XYZ?
Right.
You know, I got to find out why these group of people think it's okay to behave this way. Well, that's just how I am. Okay, you're bringing down my motherfucking property value, and I can't sleep.
Yeah,
I'm out. Every time you come in the neighborhood, I'm out.
Yeah.
All right, it's not just a white thing.
Yeah.
It's a class thing. And I don't mean class as far as finances. It's just a class thing that I behave this way, you behave that way.
It's a certain it also is attached to a certain level of maturity.
Fair enough.
Right.
Right. And you can live that way.
Right.
I can't. Who am I to tell you you can't live that way?
Yeah. Right.
You just can't live that way inside these gated properties.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Not
so,
gonna have it.
Right. So I've always felt like, man, I've battled with it just in thought. Hey, what do I want to do as far as having these people behave better, so they don't litter. You know, if you've seen, you know, and I'm paying attention to
talking about
black people. I'm talking about black people because that's the people I'm attached to.
Yeah,
right.
Just by happenstance, like, hey, little, you know, lady walking your kid down the street. If your kid litters, who's supposed to pick it up?
Right.
Like, that's education. We talk about it, but what are you doing with it? And a lot of us don't make the time to do that. And people feel like, oh, we need a leader. Or we need, you know, I've heard this, we need somebody to step up. I remember Jesse Williams spoke at some BET fucking fuck shit. And for 2 months, we just listened to people talk about how he's it. And I'm like, no, motherfucker, you can be it. And you need to be it, in my opinion, Tony Davis. You need to be it, too.
Yeah.
Don't just let this one man do it. Strength in numbers. You be smart. You don't have to speak the same thing or know the same, you know, you don't have to know politics. You may know about finances. You may know about, you know, engineering.
You may know about clothing.
Exactly.
Right.
Teach what you know.
Right.
Better lifestyle. Look at, you know, a lot of people say, I've heard this statement, that's white people shit.
Yeah.
Now, when it was said in the terms of.
I don't know about, like, this.
Again, you're trying to be uppity.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm like.
There's a negative connotation.
A negative connotation. But I'm like, yeah, but you're steadily trying to be that too.
Right.
You always think the man, the white man, the white man, the white
you want
man,
the soup?
Exactly. The white man is doing XYZ. Well, white or not?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be doing XYZ too?
Pay attention to
I mean, if we, you know, if we're saying this person is winning, we need to do whatever, whether it's Jay, whether it's, you know, the billionaire who, you know, did the Morehouse. Yeah. Morehouse thing.
Shout out to Morehouse,
it doesn't matter
man.
Who it is. It's just like, hey, whatever they're doing, you should emulate that. So whatever ethnic makeup, whatever background they come from, try doing what they do.
Right.
That's what I think that people should be doing if I'm that person who gives a shit about my people.
Right.
Other guy doesn't give a fuck, do what you do for yourself.
And that's what, and I guess that's where the challenge is, because we're in total agreement with that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm in total agreement with what you're saying.
I do have a caveat, though.
Oh, look.
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that I think I think people aren't that way because they aren't confident and consistent. They aren't confident and consistent enough with themselves.
What do you think could help change that? What would be even better question? Would you do to help change that?
Knowledge of self and being consistent.
How would you bring that about?
I'll explain. Else? Perfect. I was hoping that you would ask me that. So, every time I go to a certain place where I frequent a certain demographic of people, mm-hmm. right? There's always a negative connotation for whatever reason. Oh, man, you over there with this, or blah, 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 such and such and such. I tell my kids all the time, if you can't be comfortable around your own people.
That's a problem.
Are you comfortable with yourself? Are you comfortable enough with yourself to know who you are as a person? Because there's one thing to know. Wait, there's one thing to know. This is a bad situation for me, mm-hmm. right? Because you know inside of you, this ain't for me. Mm-hmm. But then there's another to be like, I'm not going over there because they say such and such over there. You don't know them. You've never met them. You don't interact with anybody. You're working off hearsay, off the fear of something else, versus just saying, oh, okay, I might stop by and see what's going on. If you get that feeling then from what you know about yourself, my dad said, if this shit is going on or if I see people doing this, blah, 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 I shouldn't be over here. But if you don't see that, then you act accordingly. All right, well, I'm going to be me. I'm going to move around how I see fit. Perfect example. In my neighborhood, which is predominantly black, there was a new neighbor, new tenant or whatever. I think he's renting a house across from my townhome, right? So he's playing his music real loud. I mean, ridiculously loud, right? So my wife, what's up, Mish, is like, I can't believe this motherfucker playing this loud-ass music. How long you gonna play the loud-ass music? So I'm like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? So she's like, I'm gonna call the police. Whoa. You gonna do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna call the police because he playing it. I was like, babe,
we neighbors.
Wait, just I'm gonna go over. No, you don't need to go over there. Why don't I need to go over there? Because you don't know what's going on over there. That's why I'm gonna go over there. So I'm gonna go over there.
Yeah.
To see what the fuck going on.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's my neighborhood. I'm not gonna be scared in my own driveway.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I don't like it here, if I'm afraid of where I live, we need to get the fuck up out of here.
Okay.
Right?
But I gotta have it.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I'm like, okay. So I walk over. Say, hey, how you doing, my man? He said, hey, man, you must. No bullshit. He said, you must work at night. I said, no. I work from home, though. He said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, man. I said, hey, man. I said, you got something good going on. Whatever you're doing, you're tweaking it up. It sounds good, man. You think you're going to be going a little bit longer? He said, you know what, man? I apologize, man. You know, I'm used to, I work at night. So he was like, I usually do stuff like this during the day. I assume people are at work, right? Yeah. Common assumption, right? Mm-hmm. But you got my wife in the house about to call 12 because he boop, boop, boop on the music, right? And I'm like, that's simple. Being consistent enough to say, instead of me trying to judge and assess, let me see what's going on first. Then I can make my character judgment. I can make my safety judgment. I can make my financial adjustment because we speak about this about black-owned businesses all the time. Oh, it's a black-owned business. They ain't going to be about shit. Mm. Did you go yet?
Yeah.
Wow. Have you been a patron of this establishment yet?
Yeah.
Well, no, such and such. So fuck such and such. Why have you not gone yet?
Fair enough. What was your caveat?
So two things.
Two things.
We on two things all day. In that space, it is one to where you just went. Well, have you been, mm-hmm. right? It's important for us also to remember that we are a referral-driven society now. It's not just white businesses. I mean, black businesses. Yo, have you been to some cigar spots opened up?
Right.
Right? This last three weeks.
Uh-huh.
And y'all had evaluations. I'm a newbie, so I can't speak on that. Right. But like,
said, I'm
y'all
not had, going. Right.
I'm not going. But y'all had some evaluations. Uh-huh. Like, yo, this one was all right. But yo, we went to this one, mm-hmm. and it was mm-hmm. popping. Like the girls was lit. Mm-hmm. The cigar selection was. And so again, even if you're just doing that, not saying don't go.
Right.
But you just gave me. You told me where I need to go.
Right.
Like in that space. So. When people say, I don't go there, like, I didn't go there, well, have you patronized it yet? No, because I heard from three people, right or wrong.
Wrong.
So, wrong. I'm still leveraging those things because that's why even for businesses, white, black. I work in a business right now that's dealing with that.
Right.
Those Yelp reviews
matter. Are drivers.
And I get that. And like you said, right or wrong, I say wrong.
Yeah.
Primarily because even though we talked about it, we both went.
Yes.
You understand? And even so, I trust Wayne's, you know, knowledge and, you know, and
judgment on particular judgment, things.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And on what we like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he understands.
Yeah.
He can give me a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to figure out, you know what I mean? Okay, will I for look yourself? For this when I go?
Yeah.
Sure. But I still need to figure it out if I'm going to go for myself.
And that's fair. That's fair.
So
That was going to lead me to the other conversation there. Because when you're saying, like, well, if I don't like it, I'm just going to move. Well, if that was the case, it'd be a lot of families in SWATs. It'd be a lot of families in Compton. It'd be a lot of families who just was like, yo, we out.
And don't get me wrong. I do understand that. I do, because it's based on your circumstance. However.
Go ahead.
However.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you're making $8 at a job.
Why you give me the laugh?
If you know you're making $8 at a job.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says you, hey, man, they doing the same shit you doing over down the street for $10.
Yeah.
And you say, man, yeah, I need to leave here. But you're not making appropriate steps to leave.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Just because of circumstances, going back to what you guys said.
I say that leads us right back to where
going
we
back
were.
Wait, let me also clean that up because I want to be clear. That may not happen overnight. It's not something that happens overnight.
Okay.
It's a process.
Okay.
But if you don't take the time to start the process, mm-hmm. what are we talking about?
That's how we go right
back to the beginning.
Right.
Right. You said you have to have a desire.
So that's
and I know we've transitioned 3-4 times.
Right.
But round and round we go. It's actually been all in the same.
It should be able to easily follow.
Because here's what I'm saying in that space, right? If I'm talking to a mom, right, and I say, listen, yo, she like, listen, I got 3 kids. I want to get out of the situation. Like, I'm looking for a job. Listen, love, this ain't going to happen overnight. Because here's what happens also with scarcity, because I was looking up, because I know Tony was going to say something to me about being on my phone, but I was looking up this book.
Clean that up quick.
Because I know he was going to call me. There's a book called The Marshmallow Test by Walter Mitchell that I read probably last year. You can get it on Audible, no free plugs, but you still get this
book. No reason for you not to be able to get the book.
Yes, you should get the book after you get Dressed for Success and Kings and Stable Boys.
A better guide to a relationship.
Well, you got
to
go get it.
Better guide to a relationship.
You got
to
get
brother.
It.
No problem.
Yeah, out available now. You should go get that on Amazon.
All
that shit. But with that book, one of the things that they had, and I think we had a conversation about on an earlier podcast, was this marshmallow test. So they would give these kids marshmallows and say, hey, I'm going to leave, but if you don't eat this marshmallow, then when I come back, you'll get 2 marshmallows. And they were doing this to, like, little kids. So the book kind of goes through the fact that, like, little kids would do all types of things to not eat the marshmallow. They would, like, look at it and then put their hands behind their back. Some of them would kind of just poke it and prod it, like, ooh, like, it's soft.
Yeah.
Like, they would look at it. They would move to the corner so that they didn't have to look at it. They didn't have to smell it.
Right.
Some of them would just lick it. Like, right?
I didn't
eat it, but I licked it, right? And so then other kids would just eat the marshmallow as soon as they left. Like,
yeah, fuck the dumb shit.
Now, one of the studies, because they went through, like, the fact that those kids who were able to show discipline, restraint, all these other different types of things, actually were more successful because they had the ability to have self-discipline, which goes to me having that conversation with that kid. Like, here's what you need to do. It's not going to be fun. It's not always going to look glamorous. But I guarantee if you're willing to do this for the next 10 years, I've had conversations with peers. Yo, I want to get into real estate. Yo, it's going to be about 4 years before you really start seeing any real money.
Right.
I ain't doing that shit. Well, bro, then you don't really want to be a real estate agent. You wanted money. That's fair, but there's other ways for you to get money. Like, they may not be legal if you want it fast, right? Or they may not be the most ethical if you want it fast.
But these are the options.
But you can get money like this. So what they also realized was the scarcity principle, which was what I was alluding to. If I'm a person who is making $8 an hour and I got 3 miles of feed, or 4, including myself, right? There's a scarcity space that we don't realize is also deeply embedded in us. So if I'm talking to that kid, like, don't eat that marshmallow, and I've been taught, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from, I'm probably going to eat that marshmallow.
Hey, here's what I say to this. And I took this from playing ball. I mean, you've been in a blowout before.
Yep.
All right. So you're in a blowout. Blowout means that somebody's beating your ass on the court for about 20 points. All right. So you're down 20 points at the half. I'll go to my teammates and be like, yo, if they can build it, we can break it. Now, it sounds cliche and it sounds cheesy, but if you don't think that you can do it, kill yourself. And I hate to say that because I don't like saying that statement, but that's how – that's basically what you're doing. You're like, oh, fuck it. You're punting on life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right? You don't get that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, hey, you have to think that if you can get out of whatever situation you're in, you can get out of it.
That's where we had a little bit of a discourse because that's a mindset that you have to – we've had conversations about religion. We've had conversations about even like when we're talking about the word nigga. Like, there are deeply embedded things that you have to deal with, and that even successful people will say, like, "Yo, I got rich because I was scared of being poor. Like, I lived being poor. Like, I knew what that felt like, and I was scared to go back there. So, like, I did everything in my power to get money. Now that I have money, I realized that money don't mean shit. Now, it does mean some shit because I was like, anybody else would have been like, fuck you. Like, right. We paying off these. But they said after a certain point.
Of course.
That's what they were really trying to allude to. Right. Like, after a certain point, that money didn't make me happier. It actually, more money, more problems type of situation. But if I'm talking to that kid on the street who, like, may have to use, you know, their neighbor's electricity, like, nah, fuck that. Money is.
Everybody has their own, you know, their own issues in life.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be something. You may think money, we may think money is huge over here. Somebody else may not.
Always, yeah.
But when we deal in life, you can't, just like I told you about, we were talking about, you know, having parent issues.
Or right.
Your body.
Yeah.
Like, how long are you going to, like, you can't let that break you. You can't let that stop you from being something. You right. can't keep using that as an excuse.
Right.
So whatever your plight is, that's your journey. That's how you, you know what I mean? You overcome that shit.
Want it.
That's going to be your triumph. And I was talking to my kids over the weekend. I was like, yo, you got to pay attention and be happy with, you know what I mean? Because they got awards and shit. And I was just like, yo, your awards shouldn't mean more to me than they do to you.
Right.
Those are your awards.
You
if
did
you
that.
Need me to clap and do all that, it ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? I could be proud of you. But once you acknowledge that this matters to you, it will feel, there is nothing anybody can say that is going to make you feel any better. It has to matter to you. Just like in life, it has to matter to you. It can't be, you know, I get it. You made mistakes here. It stops today.
Right.
So when you get to that level of whatever it is, you need a new house, like you live in a bad neighborhood, we were saying, or you want to be wealthy like Jay-Z, or you want to, you have to, and I agree with you, you have to start somewhere. And talking to those people, going, bringing it back, talking to those people who are moving in my neighborhood, and I want you there. It's like, hey, I want you to come up. And you're already up because you live here.
Right.
If I live in a nice neighborhood, you're already up. But I ain't going to stay. And right. You can look at me and say, well, you clown or you XYZ. I'm like, no, I just don't
like. Because I don't want to laugh and kiki with you and play loud music all
right. Oh, no, yeah. You know, so you got to think about that. If you have a problem with it, you can either get over it or fix yourself.
This is this. It's funny because it circled back to one of the statements that I made earlier in the conversation about how it's a very. It's a very interesting dynamic with certain kinds of people and the challenge within. You know, I said that there are people who are intellectuals, and that's what they live by. They live by the means of their knowledge. That's how they get by their day to day. And then there are people who say, I'm going to help people. Whatever I have, I'm going to become a vessel for other people so I can be a blessing, right? And then there are that small group of people who can do both, and they know how to utilize, they know how to strategize, they know how to mobilize, they use all of those aspects in correlation. Michelangelo brings up a very good point when he says there are very deep-rooted conditions with our people as Black people, as people of color. There have been adverse situations that have been against us for many, 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 many years. But to Tony's point, there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. I don't have all the answers. Wayne does not have all the answers.
Neither does Tony Davis.
Right, and neither does Michael Andrew. However.
Yes, he does. No play.
You dress like you do. You dress like you do.
No play.
But what I can tell you is that your adverse situations make you a better person.
Now, pause right there.
Okay.
That's what I'm.
Because I was full fledged. I was.
No, because I want you. No, I want you to keep on going.
Yeah.
I wanted to say for our listeners, that's where the challenge actually is there. So when you're saying people who are deserving, or when I'm saying that, because you, Tony, definitely did not say
yeah,
that. When I'm saying people are deserving, that's what they're deserving of.
Right.
They're deserving of the challenges and the pain.
Yeah.
That actually makes them the hero.
Right.
So I wanted you, I just wanted to insert that as you continue with your flow.
Perfect, because what happens is all too often us as black people and people of color, I'm speaking to you all right now, and you may not like what I'm about to say, but quite frankly, it's I'm doing my due diligence as a person who loves their people. If you continue to use things as a crutch or a vice,
an excuse,
it's not going to help you to succeed as a person, as our culture, and us together as a people. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing that you say, I'm a part of this movement, and I want to do this, I want to do that, if you are not doing your own due diligence for yourself. You have to do the work first. You have to find what works for you first in order for you to help others.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot feed anyone from an empty bucket. You can't lend anybody any water from an empty pail. You have to be able to expound on those things first and learn how life works for you. Once you have established that, then you can precisely instruct people how to do things. You can lend them advice. You can say, hey, this is what I did. However, I fucked up here, but you're in a better position, so you should do this from there. Now, to both of you all's point, people are going to do what they want to do, mm-hmm. right? They're going to say, oh, man, They're going to say, oh, man, podcast tripping. These niggas ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. That's also another part of adverse situations. What you eat does not make me shit.
Mm-hmm.
I could give a fuck. But what I care about is my consistency as a person. So as long as I'm good with who I am and I know that, okay, this is what I do. I don't know what you do. I'm sure you can tell me. It'd be better if you show me, but this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But until people start to say, I'm tired of my conditions.
Boom.
I'm tired of being like this. I'm tired of doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain situations that I'm currently dealing with personally that I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to work that mantra myself for my own self. But I own it. I own it.
And that's what, just to kind of come back full circle. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to.
No. I'm saying all this to say is that, yes, I don't want people to listen to this podcast and these objective views from these three gentlemen, self-included, and say, feel discouraged or feel overwhelmed or feel like I don't understand what they're saying because they don't have my point of view. What I want y'all to take from these conversations is that we are all three different people
mm-hmm.
that want everybody who's listening to succeed.
100.
Yep.
That's all we want. 100. You find your own path. All we're asking you to do is when you find that path, reach back.
Well, hey, no. We're not saying that right. There's a process because what you said is get on your path, then you can go back and right. say, look, just look at my footsteps.
Build your foundation.
Yeah.
Because that's my other thing is when I was saying the people who are deserving, everybody is deserving. The people, so let me rephrase that. The people who recognize that they are deserving. Like, everybody is, but everybody's not recognizing that.
Right.
And the recognition is when the work begins. It's no different than, like, with us both creating the book. Like, when I finished my book, man, I was proud as hell of myself. Everybody was like, well, let's go celebrate. No. Because now, and somebody was like, well, why wouldn't you celebrate? I said, well, for two things.
Two things.
See, y'all was on point. Look at you catching the alley. I said, number one, I need to invest this money in advertising. Like, Because now the, and I said too, because now the work really begins.
Right.
Like, I just put myself on the path. It's when you're talking to the people and they're like, yeah, but I did all the studying and all the quote unquote work.
Right.
Yeah, great. Now you can really start the work.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's my thing, is like, when I'm talking to those people who, if they don't want to learn, mm-hmm. then it's kind of like the person who says, okay, so it's the person who says, I want to work out because I want to get stronger, mm-hmm. right? All right, you ready to do this? I'm motivated and ready. Until they like, all right, now you need to do 10.
Right.
You know, 10 pull-ups. Motherfucker, I can't do one pull-up. Like, I can't even get the halfway point. At
right.
So, great. Now I know where you are. So, tomorrow, you're going to come and you're going to do one pull-up. Mm-hmm. And we'll be here all fucking day.
Until you do
one pull-up. Now, that's not meaning that I'm not going to help you. I didn't say any of those things. I didn't say we won't put you on a little stool to help you get some extra leverage. But you're going to try as hard as you fucking can to get that pull-up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 6 weeks, you're going to do 10 pull-ups. Agreed? Agreed. So that means now I got to push you every day for the next 6 weeks to get you to that 10. And by the time you at that 6 weeks, you're probably doing 12 right. or 14.
Yeah.
But there's going to be days that you don't feel like working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be your accountability partner. There's going to be days that you don't feel like giving it your all. I'm going to push you. And then you have the other person who says, I didn't give a fuck about working out. Why the fuck are you bothering me about working out?
Right.
Bro, because you're dying. Mm. What the fuck does that got to do with me? Let me die then.
Then in that case, I would understand that. I wouldn't say deserving. And you said, let me rephrase. I just say, yeah. Okay, then bye.
But that's what I'm saying. When you're saying you don't want to leave your people. Think about that.
There's only so much you can do.
And that's what I'm saying.
Then yeah. that we agree.
Yeah. And that's what I said. Agree. We all agree.
Like Wayne said, hey, man, people ain't going to make it.
And that's all I'm saying. So if it's, and so just take that into consideration. That one.
Mm-hmm.
Those other nine may be like, I don't give a fuck about working out.
Because that one can then teach another one, and then you pay it for it.
And that's my thing. It's like, for me,
or be a beacon for somebody else.
It's just one person. We were talking about, I think last week, about planting the seed, right? I got to sometimes just plant the seed and then hope that Wayne comes along and says something. And be like, man, this other dude, this other old head, or this other OG just told me the same shit right. like a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All
right.
Well, now it's taking deeper root. Then Tony Davis comes around and says it a different... Yo, you fucking up.
Right.
And be like, damn, rooted. Right. Now I'm rooted. Right. Like, damn. Such and such said it one way. Second such said the second way. Tony hit me, though.
Yeah.
And that's my thing is it is. It's a collective community. We can't give up as a community on each other. At the same time, I may not get there with you, like Martin Luther King said. I may not get there with you. So... I need to just instill these certain things inside of you. And again, if you're past a certain age, I have to also, and you're not curious or you're not confident enough to say, I don't know, there's danger there.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're potentially going to be confrontational with anything that I have to say.
Yeah.
With that said, and I understand what Michael Andrew is saying, and I support that statement. If you are uncomfortable with saying I don't know, or you think that you know everything, even if you feel like you know, confirm it.
Yeah,
right.
And this is just suggestion that because it's not going to hurt
right
to press that button and say, or to check it off and say
yeah.
I did know this. Okay, I can move to the next stage.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think you guys did a great job in giving suggestions and your point of view. Go ahead.
I was about to say one more thing.
One thing. No.
He says he's ready.
For one thing,
there's a difference between, and I will hammer this home until probably our last episode, which hopefully will never happen, right? It is one thing for you to have the information. It is a very different thing for you to have the knowledge. It's a different thing for you to have the wisdom or the implementation, and then for you to push that forward.
I always said smarts, it's not just about retaining stuff. It's about application of knowledge. That's what smart equals the application of knowledge.
Which is much more eloquently said than I just did.
It was very eloquent, actually.
Right.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. So just remember that. Like Wayne said, you're going to hit walls. You're going to have spaces where you fall off to a certain degree, but you should never fall out.
Yeah, like, don't quit. Just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. And again, it may be for us with working out. Like, everybody is collectively working out right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for me, I know I can get that to that wall where I'm like, man, I lost 10, 15 pounds. And fucking last weekend had a carton of ice cream. Right? Like, so right. It's
I had 3 pizzas in the last 2 right? days.
So it's like,
what the fuck are y'all doing?
Hit a wall, goddamn. But God it's damn. Like, but I woke up this morning and I worked out.
Yeah.
And so it's, man, I appreciate it. And so that's the same thing, is it's like, yo, I want to be a business owner. I want to be like Jay-Z. Then, yo, you have to, and you also have to be relentlessly committed to it. Like, yo, every day I'm going to write a rhyme. Every day my rhymes, for the first 2 years, my rhymes are trash. They suck. Like, but they're amazing first 2 years, because right. Those are the first 2 years you wrote it. Now, year number 4, you'd be like, what the fuck was, it ain't no cadence, it ain't no flow.
Right.
This shit don't even go together, it ain't got no direction. But you have to be relentless with it. It's the same thing with all of us that we're all on each other for.
Yeah.
Tone, like, yo, you got to promote your book. Mm-hmm. Mike, you got to promote your book, and you got to promote the other stuff that you're working on. I don't know how to promote. Fuck, figure it out. Right. Like, yeah. Ask questions. Figure it out. Like, and ask questions.
Reach out to people. If you don't know, reach out to people. You have to want to get that knowledge. You have to want to be better. Reach out to people that you respect. Reach out to people that are already doing it, whatever it may be. Right.
And keep
ask
on.
Ask questions. Yeah. Or,
and keep
you know,
on reaching out.
The best thing that I tell myself is this. Whatever it is that I envision how I want to see myself, be exactly that. Well, how do I be that? Well, if you think that walking a certain way, dressing a certain way, that's how you do it. Well, how do I dress so way? And then you go backwards. It's like
reverse engineer.
Yeah, reverse. Thank you. Yeah. Reverse engineering. You know how you make it their way, and eventually you'll get to the start.
That's a
and then
good point.
And then you'll understand how the path should go.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You know? Man.
Yeah, man. I think one last thing for me is my aw man moment is I think all too often we speak very candidly on this podcast. We speak freely. We let people know how things are from our perspective, but I think you guys need to also understand that we are internally working on ourselves and doing things to better ourselves as a collective. One of the main points, we have 2 active authors sitting on the show right now, and essentially I look at them as 2 intellectuals who said, hey, I wrote a book, you wrote a book. If you need help, I'll help you.
Yep.
If you need this, then I'll help you, and vice versa. There's a lot of instances where in our communities right now, you're sitting right next to somebody who's doing the same thing that you are, but you're better at them. But you refuse to help them because you feel like, I'm better at them, so I'm good.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you help that person sitting right next to you, who knows what you could have together with that person?
Good point.
You can't never do anything by yourself.
No.
Yeah.
For people who think that they can do something by themselves, we're laughing at you.
Yeah.
Like,
and good luck. Hey, listen, if you've done it.
You're
Aladdin.
No, because Aladdin had the genie.
Had the genie, right.
Don't entertain that shit.
Yeah.
All right. If you have and you want to show us up, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear your story.
Yeah.
We'd love to be proven wrong. We don't think that we are, but hey, you know, we want to be sharper. If you can, we're like, hey, well, such and such, you know, Slim Pickens, he did it. You know what I'm saying? So reach out to us. Whatever you think about this show, if you want to help anybody and add to what we said or disagree and make it better, whatever it is, even if you just disagree and say, hey, man, fuck that, we'd love to hear your point of view.
Yeah.
Reach out to us on the allmanpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can reach out to us at the allmanpodcast on Instagram, Facebook. And from Instagram, you can get our
contacts.
Yeah, all of our
contacts. Our tags are in our handles on Instagram.
Our link tree, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And also, if you have done it by yourself, just label the email The Anomaly, and we'll know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Neo.
Right. This coming live from the Matrix.
This has been the All Man Podcast. I'm Tony Davis.
Michael Andrew, the brand.
And this is Wayne. #AllMan. We out this bitch.
Two times.
Yup.